brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
It is definitely time for more suds. Welcome to this suds episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. I'm one of your hosts here at the table, good old boy Mike. Joining me here at the table is good old boy Dave.
Howdy Davey time.
Good old gal Juliana.
Hey guys.
And the always pleasant Reverend Mark.
How you doing, boys and girls?
So really great to have our core suds gang back together for the show today. Woo-hoo. Sips, Suds, and Smokes is sponsored by Craft Beer Kings. Craft Beer Kings is a home for all your beer and wine needs. It's also home of the Mystery Box. You can reach them at www.craftbeerkings.com. Well, our said segments are all about beer, beer, and definitely more beer. And here's what we're going to talk about today. This is a show and tell show. Each of our hosts has brought a beer, and we'll talk about those in just a second. But as we go along, we're going to be rating these. Juliana gets the honors of going over our suds ratings for today.
So today, like always, we'll be tasting and discussing these beers and rating them with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Number one. That sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Number two. Was that a belch? Number three. What a relief. Number four. A body should really not make that sound. And number five. Listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Thank you, Juliana, for going over our suds ratings for today with such flair and professional spirit, unlike some people at the table, like...
Why are you looking at me?
And yes, crowd, we're all looking at Dave.
You know, so, everybody doesn't know that at the beginning of the episode, I'm like, who's going to read, you know, the ratings for today? And it was interesting. Dave was the first one that said, Juliana's going to read them. Because he knows his ability to do it correctly every single time is a bit of a challenge. Hey,
some of those words are pretty big.
Well, thank you for joining us today for this Suds show. It's a show and tell episode. Each host has brought a beer to talk about, and the rest of the hosts are going to have a chance to both try the beer. We'll offer up our tasting notes as we go around today as well. So after they introduce the beer, they'll do their tasting notes, and then we'll rate the beer. So here are the beers we're going to talk about for today. I have brought Mike, good old boy Mike, has brought Logsdon's Oaked H Breda. Dave has brought Evil Twins Sour Bikini. Mark has brought Sammy Claus 1996. And Juliana has brought Prairie Funky Gold Amarillo. So those are the beers that we're going to be discussing today on this show and tell episode. Hopefully there's something here for everybody. So the first thing that I thought was funny is, so another thing that our listeners don't know is, on this, sometimes with show and tell show, I have like a declared theme. Like, you know, we're going to talk about a wheat beer, or we're going to talk about, you know, a sour beer or dark beer or, you know, a stout or a porter. This time it was just a grab bag. I said, bring whatever you want. And I thought what was funny is everybody brought something that had a little bit of sourness on it. So I don't know if that says something about our natural taste buds, or maybe we just need to do another sour show because we haven't done one in a while. So, some really great beers to talk about today, and hopefully there's something on here for everyone for sure. So we'll get right to it, and I think what we'll do is we'll start with Dave will be up first with Evil Twins Sour Bikini. So Dave, tell us all about this beer, and try not to use any big words, okay?
I will try. All right, so Evil Twin is one of my favorite breweries. And Sour Bikini is probably now one of my favorite lawnmower slash boat slash sitting outside when it's warm beers. It's a 3% ABV sour, American sour wild ale. It starts with a crisp, very well carbonated appearance and feel. You get a lot of citrus, particularly grapefruit in the front, and some hay, or maybe bread. Bread or hay, I don't know. Something made with grass in the finish. But it's still very drinkable, very refreshing. Super tart beer that warms up well as well.
Cool. So, anybody know about how long this has been out? I think I've seen it in the market maybe for the last 2 years. I don't think it's been out much longer than that. Have you guys seen it out any longer than that?
It's pretty new, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I'll start with is that I am just completely emotionally scarred because Dave said when we were talking about who brought what, he said, every time you think of the word bikini, think of me. So I just want to say, you know, that I am just completely emotionally scarred now.
People just went blind all across the country.
We have a whole new group of people that you're completely banned from.
Banned once again.
So, Dave, you can't say the word bikini anymore, okay? All right. So, my tasting notes here on Evil Twins Sour Bikini. Yeah, pretty simple. My tasting notes around this. Dry, sour, drying, and sour.
Wow.
With just a little bit hints of maybe lemon, I think, is if I had to go for the citrus that's here. So, great beer. With so many things to choose from Evil Twin, if I had to probably put this someplace, it almost feels like a base beer that Yeppe is kind of playing around with, you know, and he started with a base and then he, you know, I don't know what this is. It almost tastes like lacto on this, but I don't know if that's the case. But you can almost like watching a painting, you know, in development. So I think he took something that was like maybe at stage 4 of 10 and dropped it in a bottle. And, you know, so I can see him kind of playing with this, you know, more and more as things go on, either adding some additional funk to it or actually dropping this in a barrel of some kind. So it'll be interesting. My suds rating for Sour Bikini from Evil Twin is going to be a 3. Ah, what a relief. Up next is going to be Reverend Mark with his tasting notes.
Yeah, I liked it very, very much. I like the intense effervescence of it. And it was kind of like just, it took me way, way, way back to when we got the summer grapefruits, you know, from Florida. And it's kind of like the squeezings, you know, just out of the rind with not too much pith, but it was just very intense. And yet it didn't have much of a lingering after pucker because I guess of the low gravity aspect of this beer. So I agree with Dave. It's a really sort of the quintessential lawnmower beer, and one that I would like to have a few more bottles stored away for the hotter days to come yet. So with all that said, I'd like to give it a 4.
Wow, how about that? A 4. A body should really not make that sound. All right, so we're swinging around to good old gal Juliana about Evil Twin Sour Bikini. Without thinking of blinding flashes with Dave.
She's seen me in a bikini. It's really not a real bad.
Wow. You know, truly. Now I'm emotionally scarred. Now I have a mental problem to deal with on top of this. This is not getting better. Please save us from this. What are your tasting notes on this beer?
Well, it's a girly sour beer. Because it's tart and it's sour, but it's got a nice clean soft finish to it, and I think that's a good beer for those that are like trying to get into sours but don't like the heavy sour beers, if that makes any sense. There's a bit of barnyard, there's a bit of lemon in it, but it's all very subtle, and I could see how this could be the base for things to come.
Yeah, so you buy into the fact that
is
like maybe step 3 or 4 of a bigger plan.
Oh my gosh! Yeppe, so. Yeah, I mean, I could see adding like sour fruits to it, and adding like different funky yeast to it. You know, maybe even trying like different hop specialties, like doing single hop. specialty beers that seems to be a trend lately with this as a base, yeah, I could see doing a lot of stuff with it. And like some other people in the room, I'm giving it a number 4.
Oh, wow. How about that again? A body should really not make that sound. Well, Dave, other than being, you know, emotionally scarred, thinking about a lot of things, sounds like a great beer for sure. So thank you for bringing that. That was a good way for us to get right off the bat here. All right. So I am, I'm going to go next here. So the beer that I brought is from Logsdon, is where this this brewery is. The name of the brewer, the name of the beer is Oaked Age Breda. This is from Oregon, and I'm sorry, I don't know the town it's from right off the bat. I do want to thank our friends at Made in Oregon, who helped source this beer for me to bring. So sometimes it's a little difficult to get a hold of some things, and they were kind of instrumental in helping get this beer. So let me tell you a little bit about Oak Age Breda. ABV on this is 8%, and here is the brewer's description of this. Our Oak Age Breda is made with Saison. Is it Saison Breda? I'm going to go for that. That is aged for a period of time to develop the wood age character in beer. Oak tannins, vanilla notes, and a subtle smoky spiciness soften and mellow this beer over time. The aged, unfiltered beer is re-fermented and carbonated in the bottle with select yeast strains to provide added dryness and complexity, then sealed with beeswax for additional aging. So, that wasn't just regular everyday wax that was on top of the bottle. I thought that was interesting. So
it is kind of cool.
Again, the ABV on this is 8%, and it has declared IBU of 35, so definitely not hoppy, that's for sure. So very interesting beer. My tasting notes on this, real quick, are I wrote down kind of malty, Brett, citrus, and dry. Those were the basic things that I wrote down, and that's before I read the brewer's description of it, which there are some things that they mentioned there that I don't think that I picked out. So very interesting beer. I'm glad I got to try it today, and as this was the first time I had this beer, so I'm tasting it blind with you guys today as well. Up next is Reverend Mark to talk about his tasting notes on the Logsdon Oak Age Breda.
Yeah, the three words that came to my mind right off were hazy, chunky, and funky. And I think this,
I don't have a funk sound loaded on the board. So.
And I think this beer in particular just proves, you know, the old adage that that clarity is way overrated. This beer is a kind of a just a really true farm wrought old world type product, the way it looks, the way it tastes, and it does finish dry. You know, one would think with that, with all that could be going on in there, that that it would have, it's not as complex maybe as some saisons, but I do like the citrus notes in it. And so I think what they're doing it right. They're probably not doing it at a high volume, and that's the way they need to keep it. And for me, at least, yeah, I'm going to edge it on up and give it a 4.
How about that? A 4. A body should really not make that sound. Cool. Juliana, what did you think about Logsdon's Oak Age Breda?
I really enjoyed this. I got a bit of honey in it, and I got a lot of tart lemon in it, as well as a good degree of oakiness. But I thought it was a great beer. Very like crisp, but not super crisp. And like Reverend Mark said, it is a bit chunky, but in a good way. And I thought this is a really good beer, and I gave it a 4.
How about that? A 4 as well. A body should really not make that sound. Well, Dave, if I say that every time I say the word Oak Age Breda that you think of me, will that make you feel better?
No, no, it doesn't.
You're not emotionally scarred from
no,
that.
No, I'm going to be all right. But when Mark said funky, chunky, and hazy, that did. I thought he was still talking about me in the bikini. But
right. That made up for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm free associating. That's what can I say? Yeah.
So, not to make it all
please
about
be
me,
more
though.
Trained professionals. Yeah. Don't reuse the word funky and chunky. Dave's choking up on that one.
Went down the wrong pipe. No. So I think this, when I taste this beer, I think kind of funky, definitely well-rounded. I think the barrel aging did kind of smooth it out a little bit. Good citrus, a little bit of barnyard in there to me. I think, like Mark said, not one of the more complex saisons out there, but it definitely has the things that it has going on are really good. I think it's a very solid beer, and I would really like to have a couple bottles of it. So I would definitely give it a 4.
Oh, how about that as well? All the way around, a body should really not make that sound 4. Well, that's kind of cool. So I'm glad we got to try that for today. You know, they make a bunch of other stuff at Logsdon as well. I was kind of looking over some of the other beers that they have here. And so the other one that that's done really well is called Cereras, which is a Krek. Using Oregon cherries.
Nice.
So that would be really kind of interesting. But the thing that I notice here with just a ton of awards all over it is Passion Brett. So it's a peach beer that nice. Basically has been both has Brett all over it as well as has been barrel aged. So that would be some interesting stuff to try. I know. Yeah. So, yeah, we got our got some good targets to maybe look at some other thing from Logsdon's in the future. Well, so far we have a couple of beers that we've tasted here and really enjoyed things. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with the other two beers here in our show and tell. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Sips, Suds, and Smokes. Today is a sud segment. We're talking about beers that's part of a show and tell episode. We have 4 beers that we've brought today. We've talked about 2 of the 4 so far. And I'm really looking forward to talking about this next beer. I have a feeling it'll be a really great discussion. So up next is Reverend Mark and talking about Sammy Claus 1996.
Yeah, I came across this Sammy Claus toward, I don't know, the late 90s, was in the Music City Brew Off as always every year, and it was just the luck of the draw on a raffle and won actually a 6-pack of different vintage years. And so this is the 1996 year of the Sammy Claus, which is really the quintessential Christmas holiday beer, really is. It was brewed by the original Sammy Claus Brewery in Zurich, beginning in 1979. It's brewed only on December the 6th, which, you know, certainly tilts it in my favor because that's it's also my anniversary day.
Aww.
So, but And
oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong button, Elaine. I didn't mean it.
And also,
once again,
yeah, definitely, they're not going to invite me to dinner.
Thought you were going to give them some cowbell.
And another bit of trivia is December the 6th is St. Nicholas Day. So So this beer is brewed only on December the 6th, and it was first released in 1979, and it was last released this particular year, 1996. So it's, as of today, almost 20 years old. And it's known.
That's a weak cowbell there.
The cow's almost dead.
All right, so he's not on the beat.
Well, that does sort of intimate how sort of lifeless the pour was. It was a little bit like opening up a bottle of port. Didn't get a whole lot of carbonation in this bottle. But what we did get, at least what I found, was that it was a very, very strong lager. It is actually one of the strongest lagers in the world, 14% alcohol, ABV. Though sweet, not terribly cloying, has a heath bar type of aspect to it, and very dark mm-hmm. fruit kind of stuff going on, fig and so forth.
We're looking at each other across and, the table going,
And very porty. You know, it's got that just that resinous, yummy port aspect to it as well. So it's a sentimental favorite, probably the last one I'll ever drink. Not out of wanting, but just out of availability. So I'm going to give this particular one a 5.
Oh, wow. Well, how about that? Great introduction there, Reverend Mark. I really appreciate going through Sammy Claus. So, Goto Gal Juliano, what do you think about Sammy Claus from 1996?
I got one word, luscious. Very, very luscious. It lingers on the tongue. It's so smooth, and it's very, very decadent. I mean, yeah, you know, you could tell that it's a 14% beer, but it's so complex and still so yummy. I mean, the fact that it's been in the bottle since 96 with just a cap, that's really cool, and that says a lot, you know, to how this beer was made. Just very... very complex, or very, you know, sweet, and a lot of dark fruits, and yeah, that heath bar toffiness was just decadent. The whole thing is decadent, and yes, it's a 5.
It's a 5 all the way. Listen to Egg Time give me another. So I think one of the questions I had for you, what were you saving this bottle for?
You know, I really, a very special occasion, and well, it is, you know, it just, I thought, aww, this is, because I've been chipping away at them. There were like 6 special occasions, and this is the 6th. The other 5 have been long gone. So, yeah, but I held on to them all for about 10 years. So, yeah.
I wondered, you know, if that was like an intentional hold, or you had a lot of moments that we've had, you know, when you go down looking at the cellar and you go, oh, that's where that is.
You know? Well, there was a little of that too.
All right, there we go.
And it was,
we'd get to it.
And it was the cobweb effect. What is that hiding over there?
Back in a deep, dark corner.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's brown. It has a silver top. I have no idea what that is. What is that? Oh, that's that beer I was saving for a special occasion just for Sips, Suds, and Smokes. Yeah, that was what went through your head.
Hey, I don't think anybody's complaining today.
No, not at all. Dave, what did you think about Santa Claus, 1996?
So, I really don't enjoy most Christmas beers. I mean, they're, you know, ramming them full of, you know, molasses or
clove,
cinnamon, or, you know, anise or anus or however you want to say it. It tastes like... tastes like crap. But this one it's, you know, it's caramel and toffee, and it's, you know, dark fruits, like they said. I don't always taste dark fruits, so I don't really get that whole thing, but I get it today. It's very good. It's very viscous. It coats your mouth, you know, and it lingers there like a good barbecue sauce or something. But it's a really delicious beer. I'm glad Mark brought it. And I would give it... A 5
as well.
Holy moly.
Listen to Hang Time, give me another. So, really interesting piece. So, I had a couple of things to talk about. Let me go through my tasting notes first, which, so I wrote down, wow, like 84 layers of wonderful. you know, it's right? it's like a little sour Tootsie Roll. Was in your pocket for about 10 years. You know, I would tell somebody, if you have a beer bucket list, which most people have something like that, you should put this on this. I would say this is definitely something that you should have at least once. You know, if you enjoy beer, this should be something that you have a moment to run across and enjoy. So my Suds ratings for Sammy Claus 1996 is also a 5 as well. So, a little different. So, I don't know if it was... there was a little hint of sourness on this. Not a lot. And I don't know if it was just because the other beers we had were all sour, and I was tasting this alongside it. maybe that was kind of playing into it, and I wasn't clearing my palate through, which is probably the case. Dave is going, yeah, your palate's off, bud.
Yeah.
But when you said the word Heath Bar, I think that's a little closer. I was saying Tootsie Roll, you were saying Heath Bar, mm-hmm. and I think it's a little mm-hmm. closer to that kind of chocolate toffee, you know, kind of mm-hmm. thing than just the pure, you know, element of sweetness around a that you would have in a Tootsie Roll. but as far as being a spice bomb, I don't think this is it.
No.
I think all of that deep concern that Dave had of it being, you know, that end of the year, you know, clove spice bomb, that really was not the case. I don't think that was a reflection of time either.
No. So there was no anus in this beer.
You know, bikinis and anus. Funny. Yeah, it's just
right. So the next anus beer we have to talk about is
could that be a theme show?
No, Dave, definitely not. Although I am willing to look for it with you. So, do you have any beer that's about ass?
There is a Monty Python skit about Spiny Norman, who was a giant edgehog that measured 30 feet from his head to his anus.
That's a lot of hedgehog.
It is. All right, so the Hedgehog Beer Show is on. Go ahead, Dave. We'll start looking for that now.
Set a date.
Everybody's got to have a goal.
Yeah. Anyone listening, if you have an anus beer, please send it to.
Well, you know, the so we talked about cellaring beers, you know, all the time. And so this is an interesting experience with cellaring something. So I can't say this is the oldest thing I've had. So I talked about the fact that I've had this beer three times, maybe not this particular vintage. The last time I had Sammy Claus was at an event called a Big Bottle Extravaganza, and everybody brought a giant 1.5 liter or 3 liter bottle, you know, to this big bottle share. And so somebody brought a fairly large bottle of this. I don't know if it was a 3 liter or 1.5, but it I don't think it had as much age nearly as this did. But the thing that it that essence of the taste around this was nearly identical, although I would have to say there's more carb on that last version. Has this aged well? I know you guys have had this beer as well in the past. Would it be something that you would age again?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, totally.
For something being what, like 19 years old, you know, yeah, the carbonation was pretty much gone, but it was still an incredibly drinkable beer. You know, I think the complexity of it increased over time, and I think it rounded out very well.
Hmm. You know, and with a beer style like this, I almost think that aging it makes it better even in terms of carbonation, because sometimes when they're fresh, they're too heavily carbed, and that's not a bad thing from the brewer. It's just, you know, the way things get carbed initially. And with this settling out for almost 20 years, I mean, there was still a slight hint of carb, but you just got to enjoy the beer that much more now. So I'm totally down with aging.
Hmm. So was this the only bottle of Sammy Claus that you aged?
No, I said like I aged all of them about 10 years before I started kind of dipping
Wait,
into
there's more?
Yeah, no, they're all gone.
Oh,
yeah,
well. Yeah.
But see, but I got the six pack like 15 or 13 years ago.
Hmm.
So
what
the last couple of years,
day? Yeah. You know, hey Mike, I picked up some great Sammy Claus, but I'm not going to tell you about it until 90 years from now.
Yeah, we're I wish I'd held
a
on
bunch
to
of microphones
because I had one that went back to like 92.
Wow.
Dang. Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Well. Yeah, you know, it's kind of some interesting, you know, thought process I'm having, you know, just kind of tasting this that personally, I wouldn't have held it that long. You know, I think some of the other beers that are in this class of those high alcohol, very heavy spice beers, I've not found them doing very well over time. 5 years, and yeah, it doesn't get any better, you know, at all beyond that moment. And really, just the carb just starts to diminish, you know, basically at that point. I think this has really held up well in terms of the taste. So I think that, you know, in this continuing grand debate about seller or don't seller, I don't know. I think that you have to have a different mindset.
Yeah,
you know,
I think you're right.
If you're going to really go for something like this, I think for somebody that, I don't know, it's just always an interesting comparison. I'm such a diehard wine geek.
I think Mark made a good point, though, if you thought about it like a port, you know, and enjoyed it with that frame of mind rather than drinking it like a beer, even a big, strong beer, because it's, when you know, we're drinking very small samples of it, and it's, you know, it's not carved, but it's this big, thick, luscious thing that you know, that coats your mouth, and you kind of just savor it, you know, in small sips.
Yeah, and I think one reason I brought it today was because it really is worth kind of sharing, savoring in small, kind of a small quantity. I don't know that I would sit down with even 12 ounces of this at one time. I'd cap it and drink 6 ounces at a time, perhaps.
Sure.
Well, it was really, really great to bring this along. So if you had to think about other cellar candidates that are in, you know, this same competing, you know, type of beer style, I mean, there's some that I've set back, like Cuvée de Kaiser from Guten Kairos, is one that I love to set back, you know, for about 3 years. What is what's the one out of Pennsylvania, the Bad Elf or the something elf, that's one I've set back and I've enjoyed coming back to over time. Are there other beers that you guys intentionally set back like that are close to this?
I got this can of Bud Light that I got in like 1992. I've been sitting on it for a while, so
it has a pull off ring top.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I got a six pack of a Billy beer.
You does. I know, I've seen it. We're still waiting.
It's gonna come around sooner or later.
Showing up on eBay any day now.
I'm thinking of that Sam Adams 21% beer.
Utopia?
Yeah.
That one. So we had that at the Rare Beer Festival, right? And I don't think that beer is going to get any better with time. You know, it tastes like cough syrup. It'll still taste like cough syrup.
It's going to get 20 years from now,
it'll still be cough syrup. It's a little difficult to even say that's beer, isn't it? Pretty difficult. Other beers you set back that you're thinking you want to see what they look like. Anything that you would go toe-to-toe and set back 19 years that's out now.
Yeah, I don't know about 19, but aren't the narwhals, I mean, don't they do verticals of narwhals going back
that's
to like 10 years?
Yeah.
And so, you know, so that's not a bad one.
That 120-minute IPA, that would be interesting 20 years from now.
Bless.
That would be an interesting choice.
That'll be an antiseptic.
Yeah.
I have one that it's far from being 20 years at this point. It's only about 5 years, but it's the Eggenberg Ice Bock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so that might
be a good choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the Bigfoots.
Yeah, I was going to just mention
that. So Mark and I have been tag teaming, you know, probably through verticals through the last 20 years. And, I mean, some of the Bigfoots that go 5 years and beyond, they get really interesting. You know, hopping back through. But, yeah, it's still kind of a hit or miss thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we've had we've opened some up, and it's like, no, that doesn't work.
had some, I think it's J.W. Lee. It's from England. It's a Harvest Ale. They're barley wines. And I think we had a couple from, like, 2010 and maybe a couple years before recently that were really, really good, very complex.
So I know nothing about getting this beer, Mark. How did you get it, and how difficult is it to source this beer?
Oh, you mean that
the Sammy Claus?
Well, yeah. No, I did. I got it on a raffle, and this was like around 1999 or something. No, I mean, I don't know how to get it. Okay. It was luck, literally the luck of the draw.
I have yet to see it in the store.
Yeah.
Here in the States.
Yeah. Well, this was I think they were back then before the brewery went out of business. You know, I mean, Santa Claus, they went out of business and then have been taken up by a German company. It was brewed originally in Switzerland, and now it's in Germany. So it's still out under that same label, same recipe. But 1996 was the end of the original brewery. And so
that's what we're enjoying today is the last of the last
before. So you have to go to Switzerland
before the Germans took it over, and we're going to add more clove to it.
Yeah, the guy that started the company was a chemist by the name of Albert Hurleyman, like girly man. And
wow. But of course.
Well, I guess we're not going to. I'm just emotionally scarred.
Oh, wow. Looks the like bikini theme is just moving around.
We're not getting any vintage Sammy Claus now.
Hey, girly man, I'd like some Sammy Claus.
Send us some of your beer, man.
Well, great discussion on Sammy Claus, and I think just cellaring in general. It's always very interesting opening one of these things up, because it literally is, you know, it's a time capsule moment, it's always still a very interesting experiment. It's still very difficult for me to look at the concept of aging beer as a proactive thing that you would do to always improve the product. Where with red wines, many red wine varietals, you know, that's almost a must, you know, from my perspective, where, you know, with beer, it's kind of like, this is going to be really good or really bad. You know, I have no idea
but like how most, this is going to go down. Most white wines you wouldn't age either, right?
So. No, about the only white wines that I age are Burgundy. White Burgundies generally do well. Chardonnay is the base grape, and many Chardonnays will do, you know, fairly well with some aging, but again, they don't improve
right
with age.
They just kind of maintain.
I would say that in that particular case, it's more a matter that they just they're not going to turn, you know, and maybe some of the elements of the harshness of the fruit is going to soften with time, but definitely with a lot of the beers that we've opened that we've cellared, and I think is this the oldest one we've had? I think it's going to go down.
Yeah. As far as I know,
he sandbagged us all totally. Totally with the show and tell.
Now I have some homebrew that's about this old, but you know, I don't know that I want to bring that out because we may need to have some sort of anesthetic on hand.
Well, coming right back up after the segment break, we'll drag out a bottle of Revenmark's Dark Old Ale that was been aged about 12 years in my own cellar. So let me call the paramedics, make sure we got the medical staff lined up. We'll talk about that beer right after this segment break. Hey, we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Sips, Suds, and Smokes. This is good old boy Mike. We're talking about a show-and-tell episode today. Each of the hosts has brought a beer for us to talk about. We've had some good discussion about the three beers that we've talked about so far. We have one more to go through, and by no means is this the last beer of a lot of great beers. So, Juliana brought a beer from Prairie Ale. So, Juliana, tell us all about this beer.
So, a complete 180 from the beer we previously discussed, mind you. This is not for the faint of heart. This is Prairie's Funky Gold Amarillo. It is a dry hop sour ale. It is the second beer in their dry hop sour ale series. And so, they took their base called Gold, which is a sour golden ale, and they gave it a heavy dosing of Amarillo hops. So the result is a beer with a mix of tropical fruit and prairie funk that we all know and love. There are notes of peach, orange, white wine, and citrusy Brett that can be found in the flavor and aroma. It is a 7.5% ABV beer, and again, not for the faint of heart. This is funk, and I mean funk, but I really enjoyed this beer. I did get a lot of Barnhouse in it, and that Amarillo citrusy florally-ness I thought was a really good mix with the Brett. And I really enjoyed this beer and can't wait to hear what you guys thought of it.
Cool. Is this the first time you've had this?
Yes.
Huh. Cool. We've had a lot of other great beers from Prairie Ale. And do you think it has just Amarillo in it, or do you think it has a little bit of something else in it?
Amarillo, buddy.
That's it. So it's a single hop, funked up beer.
Yep.
Cool. Dave, what did you think about the Prairie Ale Funky Gold Amarillo? Did I say that right? I did.
Yeah. You did.
How well, the that? First thing I'd like to point out is that she did say Barnhouse. So that ding ding.
And we're still trying to figure out exactly what right. does that smell like. Because there might be some arse in that.
Yeah. Come on, we got bikinis, we got anus, we got barnyard.
Yeah, you know. You know. Barnhouse. Okay, so I do get a lot of sort of a white wine kind of aroma and taste to it. very citrusy. With Prairie, and I love all their beers that I've ever had, with their particular strain of Brett, I always get this sort of peppery finish, and it's not like heat or anything, but it's just sort of that kind of a peppery flavor right at the very end, and I really enjoy it.
Like that sharpness.
Yeah, yeah, it's something, I don't know. I'll just say peppery. Anyways, I think it's.
I was going to say bikini.
Yeah. But anyway, no, that's
Barnhousey.
The bikini is implied. So I think it's a very good, very drinkable beer. One in a long line of very drinkable beers from Prairie. And I gave it a 4.
A 4? How about that? A body should really not make that sound. Well, I think I would echo some of the same sentiment that this is just another great, solid beer from Prairie Ale, alongside a lot of really great beers, you know, from them. I was lucky enough to have this about 2 weeks ago that I picked it up. So tonight was not the first time that I had had this beer. And I remember, you know, about halfway through, you know, the bottle, I was like, this really rocks, you know. And I don't know that I've had another beer that is just pure Amarillo.
Gumball.
Is Gumball had pure Amarillo as well?
If you go to Google and you Google Amarillo hops, you get a picture of Gumball Head.
Huh, well, maybe that's why I like them both.
there you go.
Yeah, this totally rocks the house. My tasting notes here on Funky Gold Amarillo. I wrote down sour is definitely the word. It has a more like a Concord grape kind of sourish to it. Although, as I was sitting here and I'm like, this is like somebody handing me a lemon that's about 5 days old, you know, and cutting it in half and going, smell this. Is it okay? Because it smells awesome. I mean, it's very floral. And so maybe it's halfway between the two. So maybe it's a little bit of Concord grape. Maybe it's a little bit of, you know, a very ripe lemon that's going on as well. It has a little bit of malt that's, you know, very present. So there's... you use the word Barnhouse. I'm going to say earthy, but that's it. It's something that it's very it's very earthy, and we can't come up with a better word than earthiness around it. So, yeah, just really great. I hope they make some more batches of this for sure. This would be a very interesting beer that would be barrel aged. Yeah. As well, don't you think so?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this would go well in a tequila barrel, of all things.
Sure. No, I could totally see that.
Yeah. Of all the things that they use as a barrel aging product at Prairie Ale, I don't know that I've seen a lot of things in tequila barrel. Rum, no. Bourbon, no. It would just completely overwhelm this. But a tequila barrel, I think it'd actually kind of complement it, because I think that citrus quality would almost present itself, alongside the tequila element, well.
Sure.
So that would be an interesting experiment for sure.
Yeah.
Fabulous beer. I'm so glad you brought this. My Suds rating for Funky Gold Amarillo is also a 4. A body should really not make that sound. And up next is Reverend Mark talking about Prairie's Funky Gold Amarillo.
Well, I have to say first, I just love Amarillo hops as a home brewer. I use them quite a lot, especially when, I'm wanting to get a very intense,
bitter. I think usually this aromatic. I mean, yeah. I guess maybe I just don't think of Amarillo as being quite this aromatic as this beer is throwing off. So,
no, but even if you add them in as bittering hops, they still carry over with some good aromatics. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just using them on the front end of your boil, certainly them, Cascade, good fallback, Citra, Simcoe, all those are sort of in the same. But I really have always enjoyed the layers of flavor and aroma that come from Amarillo. Mm. Also got a little bit of the malt in there. When you said the tequila barrel, I thought, a little agave kind of taste in that was there. For me, my tasting notes say that
I'm a post-bottling brewer.
Yeah. Of course you are.
It had some really good floral snap to it in the nose, and then when you tasted it, it was like an aromatic sagebrush that had been dipped in funk, rolling through the parched palate of your mouth at high noon.
Wow. That needed some background music to it that I didn't have ready.
Opening to a Louis L'Amour.
I know. Novel. I got Little House on the Prairie going through my head. What song does that go with? Read that again. Right.
Mr. Emerson. Wow. Please continue.
A dry aromatic sagebrush dipped in funk. Rolling through the dry palate of your mouth at high noon. A little bit of horse blanket there, in the background that where you've tied your horse up outside the saloon. And it just the taste and the smell's all there.
All I'm smelling is spittoon.
I'd just like to know who the first guy was who tasted a horse blanket and was like, this beer kind of reminds me of that.
And how does Mark know that?
Is that in the BJCP sensory guide, horse blanket?
You have to pass the certification, you have to put a horse blanket in your mouth for 5 minutes.
It's a wet horse blanket. Yes.
Well, so maybe we should come up with some items that new hosts have to go through. So this is one of them.
Yeah.
We have to put a horse blanket, you have to take a good whiff of it, and then tell us exactly what it tastes like, So.
Now smell this anus.
A little too funny. I like that. All right. We totally have a torture test coming on. Did you give your Suds rating for that beer? I did.
Yeah. I give it a 4.
You gave it a 4 as well. All right. So I just don't remember holding off on that. Well, just a very great discussion on all 4 of these beers, and I would definitely encourage you next time that you're out and about and you see any of these beers, if you liked our tasting notes around them, or you want to grab one and send us your tasting notes, we certainly love to read stuff from our own listeners as well. I've really enjoyed reading some of the tasting notes on Untappd from our listeners. Nobody's used the word arse. Or horse blanket.
So, oh, it's coming now.
Oh, yeah, it's coming now. I can see, yeah. This smells like Dave's horse. It could be worse.
My horse smells quite nice.
Definitely. Well, let's wrap up our episode for today. Really great stuff. Thanks to all of our listeners here on Sips, Suds, and Smokes. You can catch all of our episodes online on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, YouTube, Uncle John's Basement, and Spreaker, our native media host. I need to get SoundCloud, Spreaker. our terrestrial radio stations are questioning every single time we use the word horse blanket and want to hit the mute button, but they still choose to put our show on the air. They're always expanding, and I'm really grateful for that. We actually added a whole new host of stations this week, so I'm really grateful for everybody that picks up the show. Listen, if you'd like to hear this show on your favorite radio station, send them a note. Copy us as well. Be sure to use the word horse blanket. That's the key word. I'm sure they'll get over that. You can reach us online anytime. Our email address is info@sipsudsandsmokes. Listen, if you want to get in touch with Dave, because if you want to send him a stack of horse blankets just for his use,
or request an autographed bikini pic,
how can they reach you, Dave?
Leave the cork in at sipsudsandsmokes.
Absolutely. Listen, do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode. If you're listening to us online, that's a great big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Listen, our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every single day. At sipsudsmoke is our handle on Twitter, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. Well, I definitely want to thank all of my hosts for being here. Yeah, Dave, I'll throw you in there and say how grateful that you're here.
Bye then.
Juliana, thank you for being here.
Thank you, and horse blanket is the word.
Good old boy Dave, thank you for joining us today.
Barnhouse.
Reverend Mark, thank you for joining us again.
Great to be here.
Well, this is good old boy Mike asking you to join us once again and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.